his office, and he was leaving town on a much-needed vacation to see his children and grandchildren. I know it's hard for them to be away, and he's been working so hard. He's one of the hardest-working men I know, working for the Lord. And he called me in and said, "Well, I'm going to be gone." And Dale, who usually fills in for him and does a terrific job, his mother is, her health is taken for the worse. So he figured Dale wouldn't be here. So he asked me if I wanted to preach next Sunday. And needless to say, I was kind of back on my heels. And I said, "Russ," I said, can I take that in, kind of get back to you? And he said, "Oh, sure, that's fine, yeah." So I went to Bible class, and then we came to worship time. And the whole time I'm thinking, why did he ask me, you know? And I'm going to get into what my story of what's been going on the last couple years. And if he would have asked me 2 months ago, I would have said, "I can't." If he would have asked me 4 years ago, I would have said, "I can't." Anywhere in between during this struggle, I would have said, I couldn't. But I came in to worship, and I don't know if you caught this. I mentioned this to Holloway. He came up last week, and he did something. The Lord showed me something in him that inspired me. He came up, and he said, "Hello, church. I'm so nervous." And then he continued to do his work for the Lord, and he prayed. And he prayed a very beautiful prayer. He did it anyways. I mean, that is faith. And okay, so I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, am I going to let fear hold me back from doing something, an opportunity God has given me to grow? Am I going to hold back from that? And I couldn't. So I called him that night, and I said, "Russ, I'll do it. And I don't know what I'm going to speak about other than, you know, I've got my story to tell." And Russ said, "Yeah, that's what I want you to do. Go ahead and tell your story." And that's what I'd like to do today. The scripture reading was, if you want to turn to that and kind of keep your finger on it, was Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Talks about our hope and our anchor. And that's what I'd like to focus on today, because that's what has sustained me. And I'd like to say, Brother Holloway, I'm nervous. I'm shaking like a leaf, but I thank you for the opportunity to get up in front of you. What church family allows this, that, you know, allows people to come forward and grow in faith like this? This is an awesome church. And I'm so thankful I'm here. I'd like to begin with, I was up here about 7 years ago. I'd just become a Christian, and Russ said, you know, one Sunday evening, back when we were meeting Sunday evenings, he said, "Do you want to do a little lesson?" And I said, "Sure," because, I mean, I was, y'all know that I was on fire for the Lord. I'm still on fire for the Lord, but I was young and immature, and that was a good thing, because I was growing, and I was just so excited, and that was evidence of my excitement. And what I did is I shared my story of my conversion and how it all took place. And I'd like to start with that. You know, I came to this church, and God put Russ in my life for a reason. That reason was to introduce me to Jesus, and that's what Russ did. He introduced me to Jesus, and he sat down and he studied the Bible with me for years after that. But I was washed, and my sins were washed away. I was living in the world, living in darkness, walking with Satan for 35 years, and I think it's one of those things, who had the greater debt and who appreciated more. And I think it was because of those 35 years that I really appreciated. Not that anyone else doesn't, but I knew what Jesus had done for me, and he had forgiven so much. But that time in my life was, you know, on highs, spiritual highs. I don't think you can get any higher unless you're in heaven. And life was good, you know. I was forgiven for my sins. I was forgiven others. My wife gave her life to Christ. My job was going really good. We were having a fun time. We were growing in the church. My little children were here, and it was a great time in the church. A lot of kids here, good Kids for Christ program. The teens group was doing great, and my children were just loving it. And this family took us in, as we do, and just loved us and accepted us and brought us in. We were living on Easy Street. Life could not get any better, any easier. But that's where today, in the anchor that we have, the hope that we have, I'd like to talk about, because life kind of has its turns, its ups and its downs, and since we're riding high, watch out. I think during that time, the Lord gave me time to establish a faith in Him and a trust in Him and an appreciation in Him and His love for me and gave me that time. Satan also, I think, stayed away from me and let me enjoy it, because you don't know what you got until someone tries to take it from you. And then the fight's on. The fight's on. I'd like to ask y'all a question, especially even the younger folks. The kids don't really know about it too much, but we look back on these battles that we've had from Satan. And the attacks that Satan puts on us and his craftiness, does it ever impress you? Do you ever, like, he's good. He's good at what he does. Yeah. He is good at deceiving. His timing is impeccable. He can hit you on one side, and then while you're distracted fighting that battle, he's hitting you blindside on the other. He can twist and turn, and his whole plan is to shake you loose from God. I'd like to go over some events that really took its toll on my family. It all started in 2007. I can't cry up here. I don't want to, because I want to get through this. Tammy got sick. I woke up one night and I heard a thump, and I woke up and I walked to the hallway and I cut the light on, and Tammy was laying on the floor, white as a sheet, eyes open. I mean, I thought she was dead. I called 911. I had 911 on the line, and I was shaking her. I was, you know, Tammy, and she came to, and she said, I'm okay. So dummy me, if that ever happens to y'all, don't stop. Get the ambulance there. Don't play around. But I thought she had just fainted, and she said she was okay. No, I'm okay. That started a year-long process in which we went to all these doctors, all these specialists. To this day, we don't know exactly what was going on with her for a year. She was in bed most of the time. She didn't know when this was going to happen, but she had several times where she would fall out like that, and it had to do with her blood pressure. During that time, the kids were in school. I was working, but she was able to get them off to school and bring them back home. But I took off days for taking her to the doctor and the specialist. I called Johns Hopkins. I called Duke. I called all these hospitals to say, you know, can you help me with my wife? And she couldn't be the mother that she wanted to be. She was in the bed. Here we have these small children. Shook me to the core. I thought I was going to lose my wife, and I was going to lose the mother to my children, these small children. That was a blow. That was one blow. Then 2008, the market crashed, and what happened there was I'm in construction. The housing bubble burst. Construction stopped. I didn't get a call for work for 9 months. I had no income whatsoever. That's 2008. The Lord blessed us with Tammy getting a job. She was feeling a little bit better, and she was able to get a job that she got her master's degree in early education. Years before we had children, she had the smarts to get that taken care of before we had children, and to get her master's degree in special education. She did an internship for a woman that worked in the school where our children would go to school. She did an internship, and the lady told her, when I retire, I want you to take my job. Well, this is 7 or 8 years later. She's retiring, and Tammy's getting her job. Amen. What a blessing. This job is very hard. Betty, you work around this. The paperwork and the teaching is just a small part of it, but what you have to do as a teacher, it takes a lot out of you. And for the first 6 months, I was able to stay at home because I didn't have a job, and I could take care of the kids and get them off to school and did a little bit of cleaning around the house, cook some meals, learned how to do a little laundry. But this job, she went in full bore, and she's an awesome teacher. Whatever she does, she's going to do it 100%. But this job takes 100% from you. And when she came home, there was not a whole lot left for the family. And after 6 months, we took the Christmas break. When she went back, I started to complain. You know, I wanted my wife back. I'd lost her for a year due to this health crisis. And now this job is taking time away from the family, and it's taking its toll. Well, she's under a lot of pressure, and I'm complaining, and those two don't mix. My job started firing up a little bit, not enough, but it started firing up, and now we're putting children in daycare. Life got real complicated, really complicated. So I had Easy Street, and now I'm ending up in the whole dynamics of my family has changed from sole provider to giving some financial assistance with what I'm doing and just the time that we had for family. It took a toll on our relationship, and we didn't handle it well. And before you know it, the only thing that we worked together on doing was building a big, thick, strong wall in between the two of us. And the longer this went on, the farther we grew apart, and it took its toll on the family. And that was just, if you look at it, Satan took, you know, the health, and then the finances, and then the family time, and he hit us in every vulnerable spot that we had. And looking back, that's why I said he's good at his job, he's good at deceiving, he's crafty. We were taken to the brink, you know. Not supposed to talk about divorce, but what does Satan put in your head when you're in pain and you want to get out of a situation? Or just give up. And that's why I picked this scripture out. Because without this anchor, and I know some of you, if you're married, you've been through some tough times. And you've stuck it out. Marriage is not easy. It's something you're either in it or you're not. You got to be in it to death. But if we look at the scripture reading, it says, "We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may greatly be encouraged." That's the only hope I had, but even having that hope, we need to remind each other of that, because Satan can get our mind off heaven, and we need to encourage one another. And if I didn't have heaven to look forward to, I would certainly give up. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. This anchor that we have is secure to the rock, Jesus Christ, up in heaven. And we've taken hold of that when we become a Christian, when we become a follower. We have victory in our hands unless we decide to let go and give up. Brother Jerry said it one Wednesday night in the hallway one time after a lesson. We weren't talking about my situation, but we were just talking about the lesson. And the conclusion is we've already won. All we have to do is don't give up. That's it. We have won. Don't give up. In Hebrews, there's about five different warnings in Hebrews. And I'm just going to read through them, just not the whole verse, but just about what it says. But in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Do not drift away." In chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Do not turn away." In chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Hold firmly." In 6, It talked about those who have fallen away. And then in chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly. And why have I not given up? Because I tell you, I've wanted to. I've been hurting. We're doing better. We're tearing down that wall, but it's been 5 years. And the biggest part of my easy street was having my family together and having family time. And I was spoiled with that. And I love my family. Why have I not given up? There's a scripture in John chapter 6 that means the world to me and is the truth. And it's chapter 6 and it's verses 67 through 69. And this is when the disciples are leaving Jesus and he turns to the 12. And he says to them, you do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have to come to believe it and to know that you are the Holy One. And where else am I going to go? There's nowhere else to turn. So that's my conclusion. He is the only way. And I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go of that anchor. I'm not letting go of my hope. You know, I'm hurting, but I'm not letting go. I'm failing as a husband and as a father. And this is what I'm feeling. And I'm not letting go. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting. But I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go to God's promise. And if that's not enough just for him to give that anchor to us, it's the fact that Jesus doesn't want to let us go. In John chapter 6, in verse 39, he says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. Yeah. Jesus doesn't want to lose any one of us. Not one. He's invested too much. He invested everything that he has for us. And he doesn't want to lose on that. And that's his will. Amen. He gave his blood to take away our sins and took them all. It took 35 years and just erased it for me. And every day he's continually washing me because I stumble. That blood that forgives me allows me to get back up and not to quit, because without that, I would not be able to. Amen. His Spirit working in my life. Y'all might think this is not too big, but I started off in the puppet ministry back here in KFC. And let me tell you, Lynette was back there. I am behind a curtain with a puppet, just reading in front of 6 and 7 year olds, and I'm scared to death. That was my first job, and to get up in front of you, I'm nervous, but God just, he's working on me. And it's hard work for him, but he's working on me. And the truth, you know, he's given us the truth. You're sitting in this church, this church is seeking the truth. We could be anywhere else, but God has chosen us as ambassadors of truth. And for that, I can't lay down and give up. And he gives us each other. I can't tell you how great it is just to see you all every Sunday. Isn't that special? That's the Spirit of God. I'm looking at you and I'm looking at Jesus Christ in you. And that is just awesome. I tell the children, just to see your faces in church just makes me light up. I want to tell you about some people that God sent into my life He's going to continue to send people into my life, and He sent me into other people's lives. But I got some people that I'm not glorifying them. I'm glorifying the Spirit through them because God has sent them into my life. But the eldership of this church, our shepherds love a sheep. And I made them aware that my family was struggling. And they prayed for my family. You know, they meet, they have meetings, and they pray for us in those meetings. Individually, they've counseled me and they've prayed with me just individually. I appreciate it so much. I can't tell you how much that means to me. Russ, I've leaned on him. He loves me. If we're going to war and I need someone in my foxhole to fight with me, I'm getting Russ. He's great, and he's helped me so much. And I can't tell you how many times that I'll go over to his house, and I've leaned on him. And it's got to a point where I'm like, 5 years, Russ, I'm tired of coming to you. I'm tired of complaining to you over the same thing. He said, Chuck, just don't give up. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to encourage you. He needs encouragement too. But God sent him into my life to bring me to Jesus. He also has kept him in my life because I need him. I need all of you. I want to tell you about two people and two things that happened to me that just blow me away. There's a guy named Chuck. He's at Cameron Avenue. Him and his wife had a little job for me to do, and I went out to their house in Dinwiddie and did the job, and I sent them an invoice, and they sent me the check and a nice letter saying thank you so much. And I mean, just sweet people. And in the letter it said, I think you left a tool here. It must have been a hand tool or something. I didn't have his number. I didn't call him back. I don't know. It was a dark time in my life during this struggle that it was all I could do to do the minimum I had to do to provide. But anyways, they called me, and I didn't answer my phone, but they called me and told me that I had left a tool. You know, would you want to come by? I completely blew them off. And what I'm getting at is we went to Three Chop for that Christmas thing that we're getting ready to have here. And when Rose and I sat down, who was sitting about 10 people from me, it was that couple that I had not returned and kind of blown them off. And it was awkward. I'm sitting that whole time, I enjoyed the music, but also I was thinking about the guilt that these sweet people, and I didn't return their call, but I went up to them after the singing, and I apologized. And I said, you know, if there's anything weird going on between us, I said, it's not you, it's just that I'm struggling with my family. You know, I'm really going through a rough time with my family, and I'm hurting. And he said, you know, we'll pray for you. And you know, people say they'll pray for you. Now, I believe they'll pray for you. But as I turned to walk away, he grabbed my arm. He said, no, we're going to pray right now. Amen. With all these people around us, and just him and his wife and me in the midst of this auditorium full of people, full of noise. And that man prayed a prayer that I needed to be. He prayed exactly what I needed him to pray. I walked away from that church that night just amazed at what God does to help us to hold on to that anchor. Man. At that night, I would run into him. I would have that experience. I was back here cleaning out the baptismal font one. I think that's how you say it. But I was back here doing a little cleaning one Saturday. And I was just about finished. And Brian Baer came. And he came back there and he said, hey, Chuck, how's it going? And I was feeling heavy. And I said, I'm struggling. He said, oh, what you struggling about? I said, well, I just feel like I'm failing. You know, I just feel like I just can't get over what Satan's throwing on me. I can't be what God wants me to be. I can't lead my family. I just feel like I'm failing as a husband. I'm failing as a father. I'm failing as a brother in Christ, and I'm failing as a son of God. And I'm just I'm not worthy to do his work. And Satan's got me tied down to where I can't work. He's got me where he wants me. And Brian looked at me and he said, Chuck, we're all struggling. Everybody's struggling. If you weren't struggling, something would be wrong. You'd be legalistic if you thought you had it all together. Besides, how can you relate to anybody who's struggling if you're not struggling yourself? Amen. I said, Brian, I'm just about finished. If I would have left, if you wouldn't have shown up at this exact time, I would have missed you. And I wouldn't have heard those words that I so desperately needed to hear, because I needed to hear those words right then and there. And God sent him to me. He said, hold on. He's saying, hold on. I think that's about the most frustrating thing about going through when Satan really throws it on you is too busy covering up and not able to serve the Lord the way you want to. But Jesus went through that. Paul went through that. They all went through that. And it's something that I need. This is a lesson that I need to learn. I need to learn to deal with life and deal with those punches and be able to serve the Lord, because that's what these elders do. That's what Russ does. I don't know how, it amazes me that he goes through his struggles, and some of them he shared with us, and he'll get up and he will do the Lord's work. He doesn't, and that's a maturity thing, and that's what I needed to learn. That's what we all need to learn. And it's not if Satan attacks, it's when he's going to attack. And those of, we've all had struggles. My struggle's no different than y'all's, and this isn't a pity party for me. This is, hopefully you can relate, and we remember the victories that we've had in this struggle called life. One of the last walks I took with Rick C. out in the parking lot before he got sick, we were talking about this. We were talking about struggles. We were talking about God's grace, and he turned to me and said, Chuck, me and you, we're going to heaven, and there is nothing. And you know how he'd say it. He'd say it with passion. There is nothing that's going to get in the way of that. I mean, that. He also said we all have to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And we don't get to pick our cross. Oh, so many things I've learned from this church. So I wanted to encourage you, tell you I love you. Thank you for letting me come up here and share this story. And if you would, I'd like to praise God in prayer, thanking him for this struggle that I've been through and thanking him for this church family. Would you bow with me now? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to praise you and your power and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness that you have for us. Father, I thank you for helping me to fight through this. Father, for giving me eternal life. For giving me that anchor of hope. Father, for giving me this church family. Father, we all face our struggles, and we thank you for just being an awesome, awesome God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we're getting ready to sing an invitation song. The holidays are a time for family and rejoicing. But sometimes it's a time for people who are struggling. Some people have a really rough time during the holidays. I don't know if everybody's a Christian here. If you're not a Christian, this is an opportunity to come forward if you want to follow Jesus. Or if you have a problem, or if you need prayers, we have two elders here. We're down, but we got two. We're good. You come forward and you will be served. Thank you.